Hey, everybody. This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball 19 and Franchise Hockey Manager 5. And guess what? As of today, you can play Perfect Team. Our public beta is now available for Out of the Park Baseball 19, the brand new free-to-play mode inside Out of the Park Baseball 19 is now available in a public beta. Perfect Team, we've been working on this for many months. It is a really cool new mode inside of Out of the Park Baseball 19 where you can assemble a custom-made team of players and you can pit it online against people from around the world in these really cool tiered leagues with promotion and relegation. And it's all about your strategy and your tactics and your, you know, how you put your team together. The leagues are constantly playing. You play an entire season over the course of a week. Games are simulated every 30 minutes. It's this really cool, really fun mode called Perfect Team, and the public beta is now available. Out of the Park Baseball 19 Perfect Team public beta. Go check it out. Just go to otpdevelopments.com. If you already have the game on Steam, the update will be there and you'll be able to hop in. If you've already got the game directly from outoftheparkdevelopments.com, same thing. Just let us know what you think. It is the public beta of Perfect Team. Out of the Park Baseball 19. Thank you, everybody, and enjoy the show.
All right, we're back. Press Row Podcast, inching towards episode 300. Here we are, episode 298, Rich Grisham.
Yes.
We are getting there, and it's as we were discussing before we started recording, it's going to end up falling on a holiday week, so we're going to figure out how we're going to coordinate that, how we're going to structure something fun for episode 300 or for the follow-up episodes there, just to, add some significance to it, because it's a pretty big milestone, and we talked about that a little last week, about what has changed in the 6 years and 300 episodes since the Press Row Podcast began. So we're getting there, but for now, and we also have, you know, Black Friday and everything coming up. We'll probably talk about various deals and stuff next week, but until then, we got some other stuff to hit on. We got one news piece, not a whole lot of news coming out in recent weeks, but we got one piece of news I found interesting this week. And then you've got a whole list of stuff that's kind of sales related, and
yes,
we'll get to all of that. What's on your mind first, Rich? What do you want to kick us off with?
Well, I have a confession to make to you, Brian Weedy. I was in Seattle the last couple of days.
You didn't tell me that.
And I did not tell you that. And it's not because of the fact I didn't want to get together with you, because every time I go out to Seattle, I try to get together with you and our good friend Ryan Lewis, Ryan the Lou. But this was where I flew in late on a Tuesday night. I had meetings all day Wednesday and then an event, you know, with my customer on Wednesday night and then traveling back on Thursday. So, you know. I felt bad not saying anything beforehand because I knew we weren't going to be able to get together. But I just wanted to mention that, I was once again in the amazing, beautiful state of Washington.
Yep.
And I was actually in the Bellevue area so I wasn't in Seattle downtown. But boy, Bellevue, whew, that is nice.
Bellevue, yeah. Bellevue is a very rich, rich and
Really?
Fairly, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a newer area. It's built up in not the recent years, but more recently than Seattle. It's definitely, you know, that's on the east side. You're going to find Microsoft and Nintendo and a lot of tech companies. So
wait,
it is very
Nintendo is there.
What's that?
Nintendo is in Bellevue.
Well, Nintendo is not in Bellevue, but they're a little north of there. I think in Redmond, which is only, you know, not too far north of there.
I saw somebody at the airport with a Nintendo bag, and I was very jealous because it was clearly like they had something good in there, and I didn't know what it was.
A Nintendo Switch or something better?
I don't know. I couldn't see, but it was like the official. It wasn't like a Nintendo store. It was like clearly. I mean, I knew that Nintendo had their headquarters around there. I didn't know that I was so close to it.
Not
but
far.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. And I also, it's funny. I was walking in downtown Bellevue, and I was completely tricked. Because I'm walking and I see this sign on the building and it says Nintendo,
And then I'm like, wait a second, could this be it? And then it turned out to be Nintex. I didn't see the actual X until a little bit later. So they tricked me. They tricked me.
Just think, Rich, you were about 15 minutes away from Nintendo headquarters. Yeah.
Next time I got to go there. But man, Bellevue, it's all tall. I mean, the downtown area, all very tall, brick and steel, modern looking, beautiful, you know, glass and steel buildings. Unbelievable stuff.
There were some ideas in recent years to build a sports stadium over there when they were trying to figure out what to do, trying to get an NBA stadium or NHL stadium built. I think actually the initial idea was NHL. There was a potential ownership group that was going to build a stadium over in Bellevue or right on the outskirts of it. Didn't obviously end up happening, but I always thought that was an interesting idea. But yeah, now we've got a Key Arena redo.
It was also cool flying in, because when you fly into SeaTac, Seattle Tacoma Airport, and it was at night, you fly right next to the football stadium and the baseball stadium. And the football stadium was all lit up and it looked really cool.
That's the interesting thing. Even if you're coming from the south, you get routed around north of the airport. So for people who don't know, SeaTac, Seattle/Tacoma Airport, it's south, kind of in between Seattle and Tacoma. So even if you're coming up south, though, they route you around. And you come and you turn pretty much right over downtown Seattle. So yeah, CenturyLink and Safeco and the Space Needle, you get a good look at that daytime or nighttime, as long as it's not too cloudy.
And the big Ferris wheel, which is out there on the pier.
I mean, that's a recent addition to what, in the last 5 years or so? Yeah.
I was going to say, I was not aware that that was a thing. I was like, oh, there's a giant lit up Ferris wheel.
I've never done it because it's like $20 for a ticket, which to me seems insane, but a lot of people like it. And there's always a line, apparently. So
one of your favorite things, a long line.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially when you're, when it's your own city. That's definitely what you want to do.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you enjoy it. I'm glad you enjoy it.
I love it up there. It's so nice. It's so nice, that part of the country where you live. It's just, I find it so nice to experience. I've been playing some games, playing some sports games.
On the road? Are you talking about with your Switch or back home?
No, this is back home. Because like I said, this was just up and back in a couple of days. So I was only gone for two nights. And my thing right now, one of my two big things is FIFA. I am in on FIFA completely, and I have I was chatting about it last week, obviously, and I've started a season as Everton, and I played some of my preseason matches in a little tournament, you know, to make a little extra money, and then the Premier League, you know, season kicked off, and I played 7 Premier League matches, and I've won 3, and I've lost 1, and I've drawn 3. So I'm actually, relatively speaking, doing well. I have 12 points. I'm in 7th place, which is perfectly fine. I've only scored 4 goals. So I have 3 wins and a draw.
Isn't that
with 4.
The issue you've always had with FIFA? You said you struggled to score?
Yeah, but it's different now because I'm a lot better at FIFA because of how much soccer video games. I just, you know, that's been, as we've talked about, you know, I just play soccer video games, and me the last few years I've just been clicking both Pro Evolution and FIFA. Obviously more Pro Evo than FIFA, but definitely some FIFA in there as well. And so it's a different thing. What it is just, I played so much Pro Evolution, sort of moving over to FIFA, it doesn't completely translate. And also my Everton team is not very good. They're not bad, but they're not very good. Like, I don't have a great player. Now, I did sign a couple of players. I signed a central back, you know, whatever, the defense, you know, the two defensemen that play in front. Then you got your guy on the right wing and the left wing. So I have 4, you know, defensive players. So I signed a good 83, 84 rated CB. And then I also signed Eric Dyer to patrol the middle. He's good. He's like an 80 or an 81. But generally speaking, my team is very ordinary. You know, there's a few high 70s and low 80s guys. And so the combination of the team not being nearly as good as the one I had built up by the middle of my second year in Pro Evo, and just the fact that FIFA plays differently than Pro Evo.
Yeah.
It's taken me a while, but I have been able to, not only have I only scored 4 goals in 7 games, but I've only given up 2 goals. So like the wins have all been 1-0. And the draw was a 1-1 draw, and I'm sorry, the 3 draws have either been 1-1 or nothing, and the loss was I think 1-1 or 2-0. So overall, I'm playing well. I'm definitely getting better. I've won I think the last 2 in a row, maybe 3 in a row. Actually, no, my most recent was a tie with Arsenal 1-1. But before that, I think I had won a couple. I had lost the first couple matches, or lost the first match and had a couple draws. So I was down near the bottom of the table early on. And now I've shot up all the way to, like you said, 7th place. And getting the draw with Arsenal was important because Arsenal is A, really good, and B, I was down 1-0 and I scored late to draw it. So, you know, a draw, you still get 1 point, but a draw when you're up for most of the game and then you give up the tying goal late feels very differently than a draw when you're down most of the game and then you score late.
Yeah.
And that's how that draw was. So I'm just, you know, I'm really enjoying FIFA a lot, not just because of the outstanding presentation and visuals and sound and authenticity, but that's all huge. But it just plays really well. I'm learning, or at least I'm continuing to play, and as I continue to play, I'm sort of able to do some things I want to do. It's harder for me to play possession. I'm a big possession guy. I like to maintain possession as much as I can. I don't like to sort of, you know, toss it downfield and hope, you know, for the best. I prefer to really maintain the ball as much as possible. Defense is more aggressive in FIFA for sure than Pro Evo, right? Like, you know, they come after me, and this is, I'm just playing the CPU on, you know, professional in a single player campaign. They come after you. And another thing, I mentioned this last time, it is definitely true. Now, this is not anecdotal. There are plenty of yellow cards that get called against the CPU. I've had 1 to 2 yellow cards called against my opponent in at least the last 3 matches. And I love that because that does not happen in Pro Evo.
It doesn't.
It just does not happen. And I'm in on this. I'm enjoying the scouting for players. I'm enjoying the negotiations, you know, the cutscenes that you get into when you're trying to buy a player or sell a player. I'm really, really, really enjoying FIFA. And I remember, Brian, when FIFA first came out, you were high on it. You really liked it.
Yeah.
You had a lot of good things to say about it. And as I said at the time, I'm going to get to FIFA. I'm going to play some Pro Evo, focus on that for a while. But I've gotten to it, and I'm just having a lot of fun playing it. It's difficult for me to score, but I feel like with a combination of getting maybe a couple more good players in the summer, if I can get some money, particularly maybe a really good right wing or left wing to complement my striker, who's a 81 rated Tosun, I think I could probably generate some more offense. But I'm really enjoying FIFA a lot, and I'm glad that I have it, and I'm glad that I finally got around to playing it, because it's good. And I know they make updates constantly. Like, I'm not super up to speed on what changes they're making. Our buddy Corey always is tweeting out the latest pitch notes, you know, when they have the updates and stuff. I don't pay much attention to that. And I know there's been some controversies, as there always are, with certain things with FIFA. But my experience, my single player CPU versus CPU on professional in the Premier League with a pretty ordinary Everton squad has been a lot of fun. And it's hard to say, like, if you play 7 matches in the Premier League and score 4 goals, you would think that that's not fun. But I've really been enjoying it a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I thought FIFA was, this year was probably one of its strongest entries in a long time. You know, like NBA 2K, the game's got a lot of different ways you can play it. The way you're playing it, or you go through the story mode, or all the various online modes and Ultimate Team. So there's definitely different ways to dig into it. So I think FIFA is probably one that's got some of the best appeal this year to a wide group of people.
Yep.
What else you been playing? Forza Horizon 4.
I'm been playing some Forza Horizon 4. Yeah. Trying to enjoy myself because some of the racing is so fun.
So if you're trying to enjoy yourself, it sounds like, why are you bothering? why force yourself to play something that you're not 100% enjoying?
Right. It's a great question, and I don't have a good answer other than to say that there's some of the racing is really fun. And I just wish all of the racing was really fun, and I wish the game just treated me differently. Another example of something, and I know I had a bit of a rant last week, so I'm not going to go on another extended one this time. But something else that happened to me, I'm playing it, and I have advanced out of the original sort of, 2 or 3 or 4 hour tutorial mode, right, where you get put into the actual season as they go. It changes every week, and I think the last time I played, which is probably 3 days ago, it was autumn, and as the seasons change, so do sort of new online championships that you can race in. Mm-hmm. And so I went to one because, I logged in. It's like, oh, it's autumn now, and here's 4 new things on your map that just is literally littered with everything in the world. So I go to it, and I don't even really know what these things are. I haven't raced in one of these seasonal things because I've just been sort of working on the different races that were opening up in my single player mode. And I also, while I'm good enough to win races a lot against avatars that are above average difficulty, and I'm I have it to where it's a plus 50% difficulty, so I'm playing it on I've got the difficulty up in several areas, the brake lines and the driving lines and the ABS and the damage, right? Like if I hit stuff, I have realistic damage. So I got all that on, but I'm not particularly interested in trying to climb up online leaderboards because I know that there are hundreds of thousands of people who are much better than I am. But I'm like, I want to check this thing out at least, right? Like, let me just go. And it's already confusing because it says that it's completed, but there's actually 2 things. I had completed the single player part of it, but then you could also participate in the tournament or event or whatever it's called. So anyway, I go to this spot on the map and it says, okay, press X to, enter the event. So I press X to enter the event. And the car that I'm driving, it, I guess, can't qualify. And then it goes to where I would pick my car, but then there's no car to pick. So then it's like the only option on the page was to buy a car. So I pressed the buy the car button and it goes to another page and there's literally not a car that I can buy. Yeah. So I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? I can't select a car from my garage and I can't buy it. It's literally not offering me anything. So I wasn't able to do the race. I just X'd out of it, tried again to make sure that I wasn't losing it. And then had to quit out because it physically wouldn't let me race. I'm like, what is happening? You put this thing on my map. You say, this is the big thing. Come check it out. And then you don't let me get a car to race. What is happening, Brian Weedy?
Oh, geez. Well, I can't answer that for you. Forza Horizon. I've loved all the Forza Horizon games. And after hearing about this one, I have Game Pass. I have not even downloaded it, Rich. And I don't know if I'm going to have the motivation to do so, hearing about all the frustrations you guys have had with it. Part of the fun of Forza Horizon for me was that it was like pure fun.
Yes.
At least the first few were, and I thought the last one was, although you made great points about how you don't really have a clear sense of direction and how to advance and things like that. But
right.
So maybe that's why I didn't get so deep into the games that complete it or anything like that, but yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, this game's in Game Pass. So it wouldn't cost me anything, but I'm not sure. I want to put in the time to come across those same things you guys have.
The thing is, I'm going to keep playing it because when I do get into a lot of the races, I'm having fun in the races. Mm-hmm. Not all of the races, right? I'm not having fun in all of them. Occasionally, I'll get into these races that I don't love. But for the most part, I do enjoy it. I'm sort of understanding a little more here and there what different races offer you. I've got a few go-to cars that I do like driving a lot, you know, so I do like the showcases, and I still have a couple more showcases to do. Those are sort of the, you know, the spectacular, you know, big budget movie style races where you're racing against trains or hovercrafts and motorcycles, and you're either racing against them or racing on them. So those are a lot of fun. There's still a lot of good stuff going on there, but it just continues to baffle me. It's like the game tries to be a pain in the neck, and it's not just me. TJ, you know, that sports gamer was tweeting about it in the last couple of days as well. Like, yeah. I think he just got on the starter play and has been experiencing that same thing, right? And I don't know.
Yeah, he wanted to talk about it. He wants to talk about it too on a show coming up. So,
but here's the thing. Yeah. It is selling like crazy, right? So, and this is from our good friend Matt Piscatella. Forza Horizon 4 is the highest launch month sales. Sorry, the highest launch month sales for the Forza franchise. That includes all of the games, right? Not just Forza Horizon games, but Forza proper games. The best-selling launch for any Forza game in history, the highest launch sales for a racing game on any Xbox platform in history, and it was the number seven best-selling game of September in the United States. So whatever my issues are with the game, they don't matter because it is doing amazing. And well, I am not surprised so much as I'm not surprised, right? Forza games are beloved and Forza Horizon games are beloved, but it's fascinating to me and interesting to me. Like, I'm not the only one with issues with mapping. And we heard Greg Stewart talk about it a couple weeks before when we were doing his detailed analysis of Forza Horizon. He had a bunch of problems with it. TJ's got problems. Daniel, you know, that Uber YouTuber, a bunch of us do. But also, you mentioned, Brian, right? It's on the Games Pass. So I don't know how many people have Games Pass. Half a million, 750,000, 350,000, 2 million. I literally don't know. I don't even know if Microsoft releases that. They may or they may not. I don't know. But however many people have it are people that would not buy it. And yet a whole bunch of other people that don't have Games Pass bought it to where it's the highest launch sales and the best-selling launch. Like, fascinating.
I don't know that we have the answer to the question I've raised before, which is I wonder if they're counting a Game Pass download of Forza Horizon 4 as a sale of Forza Horizon 4. Like, because it's hard for me to imagine that sales would increase, that it'd be the biggest selling launch. I mean, I the potential is there for it to be, but when you can get Games Pass for half a year, pay your $60, and you get Forza Horizon 4 and all those other games, it almost makes no sense to buy the game individually. Like, right. You should get Game Pass. So I have to wonder if, just like I think internally, most companies that would be in a subscription service probably look at a download as a sale or get a percentage based off each download. Like, I think that's how it works with at least some games in these subscription services, including Game Pass. So I don't know. Maybe Matt Piscatella could clarify on that. But I have to think that maybe a download, you know, Microsoft is counting a download as a sale.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well,
it would make more sense to me if that's what's happening, but
potentially,
yeah.
But it was also the number seven best selling game in September in the United States, right? So that's not a Microsoft thing; that's a general retail thing. So even if Microsoft is counting a download as a sale, which I don't think they would, because it's very different, right? Like a download via a subscription service versus a unit sale is very different. So I bet you they're not. But even if they are, non-Microsoft is saying, you know, had it at number seven, which, you know, number seven may not sound all of that great, but consider what came out in September. I mean, you know, September and in September, by the way, like, encompasses parts of October as well, because it's not September 1st to 30th, as we like to joke with Matt Piscatella about it. And this September actually was inclusive of, like, I think the first couple weeks of October. Right. So there's all of the games. All of the games are in there. You know, your NBAs, your Spider-Mans, your I think Red Dead might have. Actually, I don't think Red Dead 2 was in there, but certainly Spider-Man was. And all of the almost all of the games, like Red Dead was like the last big game to come out. Most of them came out in September in that time frame. So in that context, number 7 best-selling game in September is really good. So I think, I mean, Matt's been saying this for a while, is that subscription services drive more sales as opposed to the opposite. I don't understand how that is, but it's true, right? Like, for whatever reason, subscription services actually do increase sales. I'm not going to say they increase sales for all games, but it's not a net negative. It's a net positive, or at least it is in a lot of cases. And Forza Horizon 4 is clearly one of those examples. It's fascinating to me because, again, like, if you take out 500,000 people that are going to get the game without buying it, to then have still enough people buy it outside of that, pretty unbelievable. So I just find that interesting.
Yeah. So I was just looking back and let's see. Forza Horizon 3, which launched in September 2016, finished NPD number 9. How early in the month did Forza Horizon 4 release? Forza Horizon 3 released in the final week of that month.
So. I have no idea. Okay. I have no idea. All right, well, I mean, I can look it up.
Well, we don't do our research here.
I got all sorts of information right here. There's plenty of research.
Yeah. So let's see. Forza Horizon 3 said it sold around 150,000 copies.
Okay.
For its launch month, which would have been a short week, but, you know, everything's front loaded.
Right.
But that's also not a game that has to be front loaded, because it's not like a licensed sports game where it's going to lose its value over time.
Yeah, Forza Horizon 4 shipped on October 2nd.
You could say it had its biggest month, but it also had an entire month of sales compared to Forza Horizon 3, which had a few days worth of sales. And then let's see, Forza 6, just Forza proper, it was like 200,000 its opening month. I don't know how it compares to those when you consider the length of its tracking period. But obviously it's a very successful franchise, and it's a consistent one, and it's one that is certainly become probably even more popular than it has in the past, for sure.
And it's trending in the right direction, right? Highest launch sales for a racing game on any Xbox platform, and the best-selling launch for any Forza game. And by the way, I don't know if you noticed or not, but Forza 7, right? The last year's proper Forza release just had a massive update. They added a bunch of Hot Wheels cars, and they got rid of all the loot boxes, and they added a different way to do
things. Loot boxes. Oh yeah, I forget that was the big issue with that one. Yeah.
That was, yeah. Like they have delivered a massive update to that, which I think we've talked about here. Sort of feels like to me like they're gonna probably not do another Forza, or the next Forza will be a launch game for whatever the next big console coming from Microsoft makes is sense. As opposed to potentially doing one next year. Who knows, though? I mean, it all depends.
Yeah, although, yeah, you have to hold some things back, but if you're continuing to build and the sales keep going up, you almost want to capitalize when you have a bigger user base, but you got to have the exclusives too for launch, so we'll see.
Right. And yeah, I mean, Microsoft, that's one of the cornerstones of Microsoft is Forza. So you got to believe. Now, granted, the way that things are now, you don't necessarily have to release, you know, you could do Forza 8 next year and then do, you know, it, assuming the next version of the Xbox doesn't come out until 2020, and then you could have Forza 8, you know, HD 4K Deluxe be, you know, a launch version of it, right? So, you know, these days you can do things like that. You sort of couldn't do that in the past, but now you can because sort of the iterative launch. So they may not sort of hold Forza 8. They may still do a proper Forza 8 release next year. And then do like what Nintendo did with Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, for example, on the Switch, which was a Wii U game. So they could also do something like that, which would be interesting.
Yeah.
Because, with Microsoft having so, relatively speaking, so little first-party content, they might not be able to afford to not release a Forza 8 next year, no matter what.
Is it going to be difficult to sell games, sell the new console, Rich, now that I think about this? Forza Horizon 4, for instance. If you said, oh, right, Forza Horizon 5, it's coming out on the next Xbox, what does that really look? Is it going to really look better? Is that going to be the selling point? I don't think that can be the selling point. How do you make it look distinctly different and better compared to what we already have on 4K and the current system? If you got an Xbox One X, at least, it's hard for me to imagine from a technical standpoint what is going to blow people away about the next consoles. Or is it going to be? Are they going to try to get gimmicky again? Which has been a mistake in the past, unless you're Nintendo, I guess. I'm really not sure what they're going to do, what direction they're going to take.
Well, they're going to make them. We know that.
Well, yes.
There's going to be a PlayStation 5 and there's going to be another Xbox. So they're going to make them and they're going to be touted as the best looking, best sounding, best playing ever. There will, I'm sure, continue to be all sorts of interesting, online integration, live services based stuff, that will be touted as well. I mean, but yeah, we've already reached that point, right? I love my Xbox One X and my PlayStation 4 playing on my 4K TV, but it's not like I needed to have that. I can't tell you the difference really, other than I just look at it and it looks really good. But I'm also like, look, as long as I'm blessed enough to be working at a couple of different things that I love doing and have the disposable income, generally speaking, when the next good machine comes out, I'm just going to get it, right? I'm not saying I'm the most common consumer, but, I'm going to get the next place. I'm going to get the PlayStation 5 and I'm going to plug it in and expect it to be amazing. And it probably will. Same thing with the next Xbox. So, just sometimes I sort of accept that, okay, well, this is the best version of it. Right. Or this is the best looking version. And they can, if given enough time, they can do more. It's just it is the leap from wherever we are now to wherever we go next is I think it's going to be a lot more about just, extending things like, your ability to stream games and have just like instant access to every game ever, as opposed to necessarily. It's the best looking version of it. It might be sort of a different approach from that angle. Who knows?
All right. So
we're going to find out.
Yeah.
Next couple of years is going to be very interesting.
So let's break up a little bit of the sales kind of stuff. I want to talk about the NFL and the Fortnite news from this last week, Rich. I was very interested by what happened with this deal that was struck between the NFL and Epic and Fortnite, mostly from a licensing standpoint, rather than, okay, they got skins and they got the 32 NFL team uniforms in the game. Some of the stuff I found interesting especially was they give you the ability to edit the number on the jersey, anything you want, 1 to 99. So the first thing I thought about was the NFLPA. And that they would probably need the NFLPA's approval on that deal, not just the NFL, because typically if it was just uniforms, it would be just the NFL license. So for people who don't know, there's the NFL license, and then there's the NFLPA license. If you want the actual players involved, you have to get the NFLPA. Otherwise, you're going to get sued, most likely, which has happened multiple times in the past. The ability to edit the numbers, I found curious because, okay, so you got the NFLPA. That's all right because someone running around in number 12 New England Patriots jersey, everyone knows that's a Tom Brady jersey, but the NFLPA is involved, so that's fine. And Brady's not going to be able to sue for that because the Players Association agreed to the deal. But what wasn't specified, it does not seem that they have any sort of retired player deal. And so, like my example, somebody running around in a Detroit Lions number 20 jersey, obviously a Barry Sanders jersey, I would not be surprised if videos go around with people in certain jerseys retired players see it and they sue, which, okay, Epic, they're making like billions of dollars. They'll survive. But it just, I just found that kind of fascinating on my end to see how that deal worked. I got a lot of questions from people like, how can they do this, but then 2K can't make a football game? Very different. EA has the exclusive license to making football games with the NFL license, and Fortnite is not a football game. It is, they just put skins on players running around shooting.
One has literally nothing to do with the other in that case.
Just like the NFL makes licensing deals for their apparel, for beer, official beer, you know, every deal that the NFL cuts, you know, they can go multiple ways with their branding and with their licensing. So, it's kind of the crossover between Fortnite and sports has been obvious since the game rose to prominence, right? Whether it's players, imitating the dances and the celebrations for their own celebrations happening across the world, not just the NFL, but it's happening across the world. So that was the one piece of news from this last week, Rich, that I wanted to talk about a little bit, just because it was licensing related, which we all know we've had plenty of lessons on this podcast and others about licensing, whether it relates to college football or the NFL, and the ability for video games to use the licenses, or why people, or why the companies choose to use licenses or not, and who has access to those licenses eventually. This is one of the few times where a video game would get non-football game would get an NFL license, an NFLPA license to put something into their own game and heavily promote like that.
Yeah, it's interesting in a lot of ways. I'm a little surprised that the NFL would sort of promote people running around in NFL apparel shooting other people. Like,
you
I know
it's
a cartoony
say
it's, thing.
Yeah, that's the biggest difference, right? That's why it has appealed to a wide range of ages and why parents have not been outraged that their kids are playing it, right?
But you're still right. Running around with assault weapons and it's shooting other people, right?
Yeah. And you're not the only one who raised that as suspect in a way. Like, that's a really curious decision on their part to associate themselves with killing, essentially.
That's right, especially in where we are right now in this country,
of course,
with
gun
violence, right? Like, these things are intertwined, these conversations. Like,
and
as
NFL,
I get older,
the NFL is super conservative when it comes to their image, so it is, absolutely. I mean, I totally understand when that was one of the things that people, have, including you, has raised.
Yeah, and as I get older, I just have a harder time sort of understanding how, in some contexts, it's fine, and in other contexts, it's not. Like, I just, anyway, but that's me, and that's not really a part of this discussion. But I found that surprising, not shocking, not outrageous, not, bad. Just, I found that surprising. But on the other hand, right? I mean, what is the goal of every single sports league? It's to grow its fan base, and in particular to grow its fans, young fans, right? You want kids, right? All of them do. Baseball, football, hockey, basketball. They want the kids, because kids that are fans grow up into adults with disposable dollars that are fans, that will pay for the subscriptions and pay for the tickets and pay for the merchandise and the apparel. So from that perspective, I mean, what's a bigger hit with preteen and teenage boys, right? Which is what sports most often target, Fortnite. You know, from that perspective, it makes complete sense.
Right. And one of the first things that came to my mind is basically along those lines, is that in the last decade, think about how much Madden has slipped culturally. It is not the big event that it used to be. It is
We're
going to
talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it has not grown in sales, obviously. It's slid in sales significantly. Madden is more now about retaining. It seems like it's more about retaining and making money off of the people who buy the game than it is growing the game. And that's the case for most sports games now. But it does bring to question the way that sports leagues used to look at these video games as a way to grow their fan bases, as a way to introduce new fans to the sport, whether it be regionally or worldwide. FIFA, you know, can be credited for that a lot too. But with a game like Madden, it doesn't seem like kids are going to jump at Madden anymore like they used to. And so how do you reach the younger crowd? How do you get them? How do you pique their interest a little bit? Yeah, and you probably associate yourself with the biggest video game in the world.
That's certainly one way to do it, right? And like anybody else, there's not one way to do it. There's 100 different ways for mm-hmm. you to get to people. So this is an interesting avenue. And I'm surprised there hasn't been a bit more controversy, but that's okay. And I don't fault either party for doing it, right? I mean, it's a big deal to be associated with a major league, whether it's the NFL or Major League Baseball.